Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
William Bird is the director of Media Monitoring Africa. He joins us this morning. Good morning. Thanks for doing that. How are you?
Good morning. Good. Thanks for having me on the program.
No problem at all. So it's fascinating because we spoke with Paula Sleer yesterday, who is a Russia Today correspondent. Her view was that as long as she is reporting accurately, that is her job as a journalist. But it's obviously more complicated than that because you can be sliced and diced by a producer, director of a show, and you can in fact report something in a very balanced way, but the final product looks different. How do we hold media to account?
Well, I mean, I guess part of it is the fact that that's why you want to trust credible, established news organizations that adhere to agreed international standards and principles. So Chai FM, for example, you have a license from ICASA, the regulator, and part of the conditions of that license require that you adhere to the Broadcasting Code of South Africa.
Right.
And that means that if you breach any of those things, and all of your listeners know this because they hear the messages every day, they can lodge a complaint, and that complaint will go through a process and it'll be heard. And if your station messes up or one of your people messes up, there's various things that they can do. They can, they can fine you in the worst case instance, guilty of, severe issues. ICASA can actually take your license away. So that's how you get kind of accountability in a standard mechanism.
Mm.
The problem comes in when you're dealing with media that ostensibly seem to deal or adhere to those principles, but in reality they don't, and they don't participate in the agreed standards and organizations. So in South Africa, you look at the Independent Group, where they used to be part of the Press Council, now they no longer are, which means that if you have a problem, you have to go through their internal process, and that, to be honest, isn't necessarily something that people have a great deal of trust and credit and belief in, which means that if you're not happy with that, your only recourse then is the court, which is a very long and expensive kind of process. And for some of the issues that we're dealing with, it's not that easy to bring those kinds of cases. So that's a real problem. So if you look at your Paula Sleer example, just to bring it home for people in our local context, you say, well, you've got independent media. They've got some really good journalists that still work there that produce really interesting and very useful and good news stories. But we also know that on a regular basis, they frequently publish active disinformation. So stories that set out to, cause public harm, they use their front page to do that. Now, when you've got that and a media house that's doing that, and then you take it now to RT and you say, you're now in a situation of war. The EU, it seems, have said, look here, we're not going to, as far as I understand it, they haven't banned it. What they've said is they're not going to carry their broadcasters on any of their local broadcast services. So it's not banning it in the same way as saying, well, no one's allowed to see it in any
internet
browser
so
that carries it. So you can still go and find it if you want to, but they're saying we don't need to give this kind of content that is disinformation a platform at this time of crisis.
It's interesting because we have seen it before with, for example, Al Jazeera across different parts of the Middle East.
Yeah, exactly. You've seen a similar thing. And you see, and again, often these things aren't motivated by the right kind of decisions. They tend to be motivated by governments who are making the wrong decisions. And we know this, again, from our own local context, where, either under apartheid, the government would ban certain media, or more currently in Eswatini, we saw some of our journalists being picked out or denied entry because of the fact that they were wanting to report on the protests that were happening there. So their governments tend to do it in order to prevent, legitimate and credible news getting out. In this instance, you've got a different process that says this isn't about whether we disagree with the news and that you can verify that it's real or not. This is about saying there are a number of stories, a consistent pattern of disinformation on those channels that is undermining people's ability to know what's real and what isn't, and that's a problem, especially in a time of crisis.
How do we safeguard against this? other than doing what's been done, which is to say, look, that's not a credible source and we're not going to be paying it too much heed.
So this is a problem that everyone is trying to grapple with, and there are varying kind of solutions to this. So you'll see that on some of the social media platforms, they give you warnings and alerts. So they say, rather than censor some of these people or just take them off our platform, we're going to let you know that this content from this person is not to be, is generally not to be trusted or it's disputed, for example, right? And that's one approach that says that basically you want to try and inform the public to be cautious of that content. And I think that as a basic point of departure, that's probably a good idea. But I think that we also need to get back down to this idea of saying, well, how do we distinguish between credible journalists and credible media? What are the differences? And what do we look for, ordinary members of the public, when we are consuming media? We want to know that these are the principles. How do I know that these are the principles? Because I can go to the website, I can find them, I can see who the people are. They've got a legitimate complaints mechanism. There are processes. It's not like they are, actively being supported by someone else, et cetera, et cetera. And then you can start to say, well, I can probably have a higher level of trust and in the credibility of this news entity. So you would, for example, say, well, the New York Times is one of those entities. Even if you don't agree with their politics, you can say, what we do know about them is that they will actually send someone there. They will verify these and these facts. And even if I don't like their editorial position, that's fine.
At least but I know that there's accuracy.
What they're doing is telling us is true.
Absolutely. Absolutely right. William Bird, Director of Media Monitoring Africa, reflecting on the media's response to the Russia-Ukraine war.